Welcome to the H2MMO Podcast. Video game reviews and more for the discerning video gamer. Hey everybody, and welcome to the H2MMO Podcast. This is episode 3. I am your host, Mike B. And today I've got with us, of course, our lead blogger on H2MMO.com, Brett S.
Hello.
And we have our site administrator back again, none other than my wife, Trish B.
Hello.
So, what have you guys been up to in the world of video gamery lately?
Everything that's ever come out ever.
In the history of ever?
Yeah.
And ever? So, what have you been playing, Brett?
I mean, I've been playing a ton of Heavy Rain, like nonstop. That and Bioshock 2.
But you know what? I've heard some interesting things about Heavy Rain on some other podcasts and then different video game magazines and whatnot. And I'm interested to see your take on it.
Okay.
What have you been playing, Trish?
I've been working on the new Sims 3 World Adventures, the new expansion for The Sims.
Can you still kill people and make a headstone and then dance on their grave?
Yeah, all the old stuff is still there, just a little upgraded. And the World Adventures is really interesting because it's a lot more than The Sims 2 Vacation. There's a lot more to do. And
all right. Well, that sounds cool. I have, of course, I've been playing a lot of WoW. I can't go through life without my WoW fix. And then I've been playing.
Who could?
Say what?
Who could?
Really? And I've been playing every God of War clone that they have decided to release a month before the release of God of War 3. So I've got like God of War game mechanic fatigue. But other than that, I think we're doing okay. Well, let's get started. Brett, you wanted to talk about what are you going to review for us today?
It'll definitely be Heavy Rain.
All right. Well, let's talk about that. Now, set this up for us. Heavy Rain, I've heard it called not so much a video game as like an interactive movie.
Well, I think that title belongs to, and deservedly to, Metal Gear Solid 4, because there's actually much more gameplay in Heavy Rain than there is in Metal Gear Solid 4. However, it's very cinematic. You know, there's a lot of cut scenery, if you will. And, you know, you can change a lot of the outcomes of a lot of the different scenes, and there are several different endings and sub-endings and, you know, a big plot and all the subplots for all the characters. So, yeah, I mean, it's close. I definitely say it's close to that experience.
Well, what's the setup? Who's your main character or characters, and what's the beginning of the story?
Well, there are four main characters. There's a detective, there's a father, FBI agent, and a woman who, she's a journalist. That's right. And they're all just trying to catch the origami killer who, I mean, he basically just kidnaps children and then and kills them and then leaves their body on stretches of wasteland. And so all the characters have their own motivation to catch the killer. And you play through their stories. Luckily, it's not like you pick one character and you go through that whole character. You know, it changes scenes, changes characters every so often. So it gives you some variety, at least.
Okay, so you're able to flip back and forth between, but you don't play all of them at the same time, like in Final Fantasy, right?
No, definitely not. I mean, they do interact at some points and run into each other, but no, you don't play simultaneously.
Are there any like summons or materia?
You do. You summon Bahamut of all things. It's kind of weird, but no, I kid.
That would be cool.
I better make sure I clarify that. I'm kidding.
You're fighting the killer at the end of the game, and all you have is a lead pipe and Bahamut.
actually, that would probably have made the end, you know, end fights a little bit easier.
Do you have like, what's the one? What's that series of games that I hate? Silent Hill.
It's not. If you hate Silent Hill, you'd hate this to death because, well, no, that's there's more action in this. I mean. There is, and you'll like it because, and I won't say anything for those people who haven't played it, but there is an entire gunfight, like, quick time event scene. That was actually my favorite part of the game was actually that part because it's just nonstop shooting people, pressing buttons. You know, it felt like a a friggin' John Wayne movie or something.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it spices things up. It doesn't just, you know, you have your investigation scenes, you have your, there's even a love scene that you, oddly enough, interact with. It was kind of disturbing.
Was it like the God of War? Like the sex game?
This one was, well, there were boobs in both, so.
That's, you know what? It's that's the new theme of video games lately, is boobs. I think we should just change the name of the podcast to the H-boob MMO.
I'm going to trademark that.
Because there have been, anyway, I'll talk about the boob shots later.
Go ahead.
I wanted to ask, I've heard some stories about some comments about the voice acting.
That's actually what I was about to talk about.
Please do.
The voice acting is either incredible or horrible. And I'm not talking about different characters. I mean, the same voice actors for the same characters, one minute will be like, I don't know what's going on. And then they'll be screaming, you know, in agony or something very, very convincingly. It's really weird how different it is. And the very bizarre thing to me is so many characters inexplicably have accents in one scene and not others.
French accents.
No, all sorts of accents. I mean, they're all.
I heard who was the developer on this game?
Quantic Dream, I believe, is their name.
Well, I heard that they're a French company, and that everybody in the video game is French except for one American.
Well, 9/10 of the game is you can't hear any accents, and they sound American. But yeah, it's so. I mean, I actually started calling this game heavy accents because it didn't. A kid will start talking at the end of a sentence. He'll go, you know, he'll sound. I don't think I even say it was French. It just sounded different.
Off.
Almost all the characters have accents at some point. It's very, very strange.
All right.
But but overall, it was pretty satisfying, the voice acting. I mean, with some particularly bad scenes, for sure. But, you know, you can't be perfect.
How did the story unfold? I mean, did it keep you engaged, or did it have, like, big holes in it?
There were definitely plot holes. I mean, and, you know, the nice thing is that you have various ways to go about the story. It's not just point A to point B. I mean,
because you're switching back and forth, yeah, between the.
And characters can actually die. Like, main characters can die. You can get to the end scene with all of the characters being dead.
That sucks.
It does suck. In fact, I've been playing through and getting all the endings to get some trophies. And, yeah, it's depressing. if you don't get the happy endings for all the characters, it's really depressing. But,
what's the deal with you lately in playing these games where everything's a suicide mission?
It's how I live. It's really weird, because it's... It seems to be a PS3 thing,
No, because Mass Effect is not on the PS3.
Oh, yeah.
And Mass Effect is like the whole point of the story is a suicide mission, right?
Yeah, well, I thought you were also referring to Metal Gear Solid 4, because that was, you know.
That's a suicide mission, too?
Yeah, at the end it is.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But the thing is, all these games can have positive outcomes, you know, so. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of replayability in the story. You know, you can go. The great thing is, and I really applaud them for it, they included a chapter load option. So you can go back and load specific chapters. So if you're looking for a trophy, or if you're trying to, you know, change the outcome of the story a little bit and the following scenes, you can just go back to a certain scene. And if you say, like, oh, crap, well, I didn't want them to get killed in this part, you can go back and play it and save them and then continue on from there.
Oh, well, that's pretty cool. That's like kind that's of like really a great. Parallel universe kind of thing.
Yeah, you could say that.
All right. Well, that's cool. All right. Well, excellent. Excellent. Trish, what have you got for us? You're going to review The Sims 3?
Yes, the World Adventures expansion.
Okay, so The Sims have been going for, it feels like, a bazillion years. And I know that you have single-handedly managed to, during The Sims, to acquire every expansion pack that they ever put out. They came out with The Sims 3. What's different about this, the World Adventures?
Well, it puts an international twist on the game. You can visit places like China, Egypt, France, but of course in Sims world, that's Shang, Simla, Al Simhara, and Champs La Sim. The big difference in for those who played Sims 2, when you went on vacation and you went to do adventures, your character would disappear for a few minutes and then come back, and that, you know, it would tell you what your Sim did. Whereas with the world adventures, you actually get to go on your you get to explore, and you get to go into the tombs, and you get to collect things and take them home. And it's a lot of fun. The thing is, you have to earn Visa points. So that will give you the amount of days that your characters or your families can go on vacation.
You mean for like a passport?
Yes, yes. Visa passport.
It's not the Visa commercial from the Olympics, is it? The Olympics only takes Visa.
So I would recommend, if you're playing, don't take your whole family the first few times. Take your, you know, pick a character and take that character and build up Visa points. Because if you have one character looking in tombs and you have another one looking in caves, you have to keep popping back and forth to each character, and it takes a lot of time.
Now, I've seen you while you were playing this, and I guess you must have been in Egypt, and you were in some kind of tomb. You were underground, and you were just moving. I don't know. To me, it looked like statues or mummies or something. Do they have a big puzzle element?
It's a very big puzzle solving with your exploration and your collection missions. And the enjoyable additions that allows players to more variety to their Sims and their Sims homes also, because all the things that you collect on vacation, you actually get to bring home and set up in your house. So if you collect gold or you collect silver bars or
a mummy.
And I haven't got as far as a mummy yet, but they will chase you. And you can get burnt, and your whole Sim will come out naked as can be, just burnt from top to bottom with their hair sticking up. And so you have to be really careful. And you get to, you know, you should collect, they advise you to collect, like, you take a tent with you and food with you. So if you do get stuck at the bottom of a cave or in a tomb, you have the stuff to survive on. So they give you all that.
You can actually take a tent.
Yes. You could nice. Set up a tent and sleep in it, so you have somewhere to sleep.
You're sleeping in the big park in Shanghai.
And you're going to get to learn, you could earn your black belt.
They have new skills, right?
Yes. Yes, yes. They have photography. The more pictures you take, you build up your photography skill.
And do they come out of screenshots as well?
Yes. You can save them in a photo album. And that's really interesting. You get to, though they want you to go out to the different towns, and they'll tell you, okay, you need to collect 5 pictures of the buildings, or you need to collect 5 pictures of the trees and the flowers, or to build up that skill, which I don't know how many people would like that, but I really like the building up, you know, going from my whatever color belts, all of that is. I know black belt and white belt. And
in the karate or?
Yeah. And so when you do visit
can you beat
China?
Up?
Yes.
Can you beat Chinese people up?
Yes.
Awesome.
You actually get to challenge your teacher. And
for selling all that tainted drywall.
But it's like I said, you start off in a simple base camp, and it has all the beds and baths and cupboards and everything you need. And but then as you explore, you want to take those things that I said with you, food and water and tent gear, so that if you do get in trouble, you have, you know. But like I said at the very beginning, it's a big difference from Sims 2. If you did do adventures in Sims 2, your character just totally disappeared and you sat there twiddling your thumbs or whatever, waiting for your character to get back to see what happened. And this one, you actually get to live the adventure and see what happens. So
cool. All right. Okie dokie. Well, what did I want to talk about? Oh, yes.
You know.
Undead Demon Booby. Otherwise known as Dante's Inferno. I talked about this a little bit last podcast. I guess that was 2 weeks ago. And I downloaded the demo, and I played the demo, and I said, hey, I really think this is worth a try. I want to go ahead and give it a shot. So I rented it and played through it. I beat it. I guess it took me about 7.5 hours. And I've got the post up on the blog, my article, my review. And, you know, it's one of those games where it's, if I had to kind of put it in perspective, like, Afro Samurai was a visually stunning game, very cartoony, comic booky. when you're fighting the hordes of ninjas or whatever, it's really fun because you're just cutting them up, yada, yada, yada. But the boss fights were all very clunky and gimmicky. And eventually I just quit playing the game because the boss fights were just clunky and gimmicky. And it was just, you know, too much of a pain in the butt to, you know, count down the seconds in the cycle of, you know, when I had to be here and when I had to use this particular sword move. And it just, you know, if I can't pick it up in easy mode and play through it, like, I'm just not going to bother, really. And a lot of the reviews back that up. So, you know, it was coming in at about a 5 or a 6. Something like God of War, you know, consistently comes in at a 9 or a 10. And then Dante's Inferno is somewhere in the middle of that. It's a good game. Have you played it? You've played it, haven't you, Brett?
Yes, I played it. And I agree with you. It's good, but it's not great.
And did you beat it?
No, I got fed up with one of the bosses, and I just said, this game isn't fun enough to be worth it. So.
Oh, wow, which one?
Cerberus. I knew the pattern and all that stuff, but I thought, you know what, I don't really care enough to proceed, so I'll take this back.
Wow,
okay. I rented it and returned it.
I did beat it. I did get past Cerberus. He was kind of weird. He's supposed to be a two-headed dog, and he was three-headed. And I don't know. Anyway.
No, it's a three-headed dog. Well, mythology says actually that it's three-headed dog, but you know, there have been even weird claims about how it's one dog with two pups that were just so close to it all the time that it looked like three heads.
You know what it is? I'm thinking,
a nerd, so.
I'm thinking Clash of the Titans, like the Ray Harryhausen. And he put two heads on the dog because three heads was too hard to animate. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But so we talked about this game on the last podcast, and now that I've played through it or whatever, the mechanics, the game controls and everything else are just like God of War. I think there's literally like a one button difference. You know, with the God of War, like I guess sometimes you use the R1 to initiate like an action, like lifting up a door, and then you press the circle. And then I think maybe in this one, it's instead of pressing the circle, you just keep pressing R1. So there's like literally a one button difference. He's got a different weapon than Kratos. Of course, Kratos has the Blades of Chaos, you know, the short swords that are actually on the chains that are attached to his arms, and he flings those around and picks people up and pinwheels and everything else. Dante's got Death's Scythe. He picks that up right at the beginning of the game, but it behaves just about the same way. It extends,
you can upgrade it and such.
Yeah, you can upgrade it. So those things are kind of the same. What's different, and I talked about this a little bit, is that he has the two skill trees. He's got the unholy and the holy, and he's got the ability to condemn or redeem the monsters that he's fighting. I thought that was very interesting, but it didn't amount to a huge change in the gameplay because it was just different combos. It wasn't like, oh, wow, they really took the God of War paradigm and they just kicked it up a notch, and this is really cool. They didn't do that. And, you know, I don't know why. I mean, they probably could have. The one thing that I did like that was different was Beatrice's cross. The God of War, in the first one, I think you as you play through the games, you get the different powers from the different gods. So you have, in the first one, you have Zeus's lightning bolts.
Oh, yeah.
In the second one, you have one of the Titans' bows, and that takes mana to use those things to get your ranged enemies. So there's not a whole lot of flying ranged kind of stuff that Kratos can't get at in God of War. In Dante's Inferno, however, there is some ranged stuff that you can't get at, but he's got this big honking cross that he got from Beatrice, and you can just blast crosses in the air. And the first time you hit the button, it shoots one. And then, like, the second time, it shoots two or three. And then it shoots, like, four or five.
Yeah, it looks pretty awesome.
And, yeah, it did. And he can do that in the air. And that's part of the holy upgrade. So that was a really good innovation. I really enjoyed, you know, the cross thing. And you could be using Death Scythe and fighting enemies on the ground and then just whip out, you know, a couple of cross shots. Blam, blam, blam. You know, just to a little bit of variety and to hit him with something different. And that was cool. I enjoyed that. But they're just, yeah, it is a God of War clone. it's the God of War mechanics, but it's in a different setting.
Yeah.
I definitely thought it was worth playing. I'm glad I got to see it. But I don't know if it'll ever go up in the pantheon of, like, really, really awesome games. That said, however, the first Uncharted, you know, was not a great game.
Yeah.
But the second one, it was, like, the game fantastic. Of the year. Yeah. So I'm interested in seeing what Visceral Studios does or Visceral Games does with their next one, because it certainly looks like they're planning on doing a second one, and if they get the sales off of this first one, then they're definitely going to go back and do it. And some of the things that I thought were really interesting was being able to go back after the game and look at the movies and look at the developer commentaries and look at the things that they were talking about. We talked about the boob shots. There are a couple of really good boob shots, like really nice boob.
There are about 10 million boobs in that game.
Unfortunately, all of the boob shots belong pretty much to Beatrice, and she's dead. So, you know, you get one non-deformed boob shot or a couple of non-deformed boob shots, but she's dead. And then she gets whisked off to hell by Satan, and I hope I'm not spoiling anybody's fun, but that happens in the demo. and then you get these pasty, white, undead, blue, veiny boobies. I don't want to see that. That's not good boob shot. And there are some other things, too. Like, apparently, Satan, I didn't notice it when I was fighting it, but apparently he is anatomically correct. Well, I don't know. That's kind of an oxymoron. Anatomically correct for a big goat man that flies around. anyway, he has parts. Those parts dangle.
He does have a package.
And quite a bit of development time was going in, went into the angle of the dangle in that last boss fight. This is a mature game. It's meant for mature gamers, or at least older gamers who may not be so mature. It is not a game for kids at all. Like, I don't, you know, please, like, if anybody's listening to this, if a parent's listening to this, do not go buy your 9-year-old Dante's Inferno. Don't do it.
I disagree. No.
Undead movie and Satan's package.
You know, even the themes of the game and the things that they tell you that Dante did in the past are horrible.
That's the second point that I want to mention. Like, go on with that. Like, I don't want to spoil the story for anybody. But who does he meet as he goes through the story? As he goes through hell, he meets members of his family. Who does he meet? He meets his dad,
his father, and his brother-in-law.
Yeah, brother Beatrice's brother.
Yeah.
His mom.
Oh, yeah.
Now, have they all passed?
They're all dead.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, they're all in hell.
Oddly.
And I made a note of this in the blog post that this story was not tragic in the classic Greek sense or the classic, you know, sense in theater and motion pictures of tragedy. It was, like you said, just plain depressing. And I just, you know, I don't want to spoil the story, but his dad was a jerk.
He himself was a jerk, I would argue.
Dante was a jerk?
He was pretty irredeemable in my eyes. I mean, granted, he was working to redeem himself, but, you know, and this isn't a really a spoiler because it was also in the demo and in the beginning of the game, he's the reason she's in hell. Because he screwed up quite a bit in the past in the wars and the Crusades.
Well, yeah, because he was at the setup for that was the 1191 Siege of Acre. Now, if you know anything about the Crusades, the Siege of Acre did not end well. King Richard and several other, I guess, kings and lords of different countries in Europe, they eventually took the city, and they were in a standoff with Saladin. And they wanted Jerusalem, and Saladin wasn't going to give them Jerusalem. So in the end, Richard just decides to execute 3,000 Muslim captives. And that was Richard that decided that. But for some reason, Visceral takes a lot of poetic license with the Divine Comedy and Inferno. Okay, I can see that, because you can't make it into a video game unless you do that. But to take poetic license with the Crusades too, they wanted to blame the whole thing on Dante, and then King Richard comes out and goes, "What did you do? It was King Richard that ordered it." Like, that's a little, and that was another one of those things that turns around and made Dante look like such an irredeemable jerk. It was very depressing, and I got what I like to term hell fatigue. You know, after being there for 8 hours, 7.5 hours, like, I was hoping that they would play that Bill Withers tune, you know, Ain't No Sunshine,
yeah,
that they used in the commercial. Like, please play that and cover up some of the screaming of the damned souls that you use to climb up and down walls, and his mom whining, and his dad being a jerk, and Dante trying to save himself, but he had acted really badly on, you know, when he was alive. And yeah, that it's a very mature story. Definitely this is not SpongeBob SquarePants. Or Crash,
well, maybe.
Or Crash Bandicoot for that matter. Anyway, enough of that. I'm glad I got to play it. And I'm playing Darksiders right now. So apparently we've got this whole God of War clone thing going on. But it's interesting. And I'm going to shut up now so I can take a drink. Brett, what are you looking forward to? What's coming out that you want to get your hands on?
Well, I'm only going to talk about one, but there are two. Of course, there's Final Fantasy XIII coming out. Actually, it'll be out by the time this is out. But my main thing, the one I really want to talk about, is they're remaking Perfect Dark for the Xbox Live Arcade.
Perfect.
Now, I recall you saying you had not heard of it.
Correct.
But you've obviously heard of the GoldenEye video game for the N64.
Yes, everybody that loves shooters talks about GoldenEye.
It's actually made by the same exact team that made GoldenEye. It was almost considered a spiritual sequel to GoldenEye because it was, again, same team, same exact gameplay, except in the future. And they actually made a prequel called Perfect Dark Zero for the Xbox 360. Not as good, but because it was still made by Rare. But it wasn't quite the same team. In fact, that team had split off to form another company called Free Radical. That's a whole other story. They're remaking it. It's basically the same exact game, except they've improved the graphics because, let's face it, you can't really release a game on the Xbox or 360 and have Nintendo 64 graphics.
Why? Why not?
Have you seen the N64 lately?
What was that little game that you played, the little motocross guy, and all you did was just go over the jumps?
Is that Excitebike?
Yeah. Can we not just go back to that?
Funny enough, they semi-remade that for the Wii, actually.
Oh, but, yeah?
It's kind of slightly better graphics, but I mean, it's like a little small game. It's not a full release disc game, but I have it. But, you know, they're same gameplay, same levels, same controls. They've actually talked about how they're changing the controls to fit, you know, current shooters like Halo and Call of Duty. In fact, their control schemes are a little play on words of those. Like the Halo control scheme is called Spartan, etc. So they're updating it. They're updating an already amazing game for the new age. I mean, the game's got to be 10 years old by now. But it had a fun story. I mean, the single player was amazing. It was great because you could also – it was one of the first shooters that you could actually go through the story with a friend. And naturally, since it's the people that make GoldenEye, it had a ridiculously good multiplayer, you know, component. It had, it had some of the old maps from GoldenEye redone. It had bots, which was, to me, amazing because I love bots. I love shooting PC people. Because I hate PCs, as you know. That's a joke. the thing I like about it is that they're including multiplayer, like for Xbox Live. So you can play up to four player split screen with 12 other players over Xbox Live.
Well, that's cool.
And they're charging only $10 for this whole thing, which to me is just, it blows me away, and I'll be buying it as soon as it comes out.
That is cool. I like when you're able to get games on the cheap like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool, man. That's awesome. I'll have to listen to your report of that because I still don't have an Xbox. So apparently Trish thought it was more important than we buy a new stove than to buy an Xbox. I don't know what she was going on about. I mean,
listen, woman, priorities, all right?
Just because saying. Every time you turn on the stove, it smells like something's burning, like the house.
Or
you
the
know,
children.
We could have gotten another couple of years out of that.
Well, you know, if you don't eat, you don't have the energy to play these games.
See, she always makes arguments like that. That's what wins me over in the end.
Tell that to me in high school.
So. All right, well, Trish, what are you looking forward to? What are you waiting to get loaded up onto the computer and?
Well, I am pretty excited because my sweetheart pirate Guybrush Threepwood is back. I don't know if anybody knows. We're talking 25 years ago.
Say that real fast, three times. Guybrush Threepwood.
No person can.
If we go back about 25 years, The Secret of Monkey Island came out. And I think it was in the 1990s. And then Monkey Island 2, LeChuck's Revenge, The Curse of Monkey Island, Escape from Monkey Island, which were a lot of fun. They were like my very first experience with PC games. Very cartoony. And
which one did you play on the PlayStation 2?
The Curse of Monkey Island.
I'm pretty sure.
Let me think. Escape from Monkey Island was on the PlayStation 2. And
it was the one where you were in the big monkey robot?
That was Escape from Monkey Island.
And you were doing monkey foo?
Yes, that is when Mr. Guybrush and his sweet Elaine Marley returned from their honeymoon.
Uh-huh.
And he has to go fight Mr. LeChuck again, the evil, evil, evil pirate.
Now, does Tim Schafer do these games?
I want to say it's Ron Gilbert created it, but I could be wrong.
Well, it's published by Lucas.
It is Ron Gilbert.
Okay. It's not Tim Schafer, but it's still published by LucasArts. And LucasArts, they work with both of these guys.
Well, Tim Schafer was big on that whole interactive, cartoony exploration kind of game back in the day.
Well, Ron Gilbert, they say, got his inspiration from Disney, of course, Pirates of the Caribbean, and a book called On Stranger Tides by Tim Powers, and that's where he got the inspiration to do these. So I guess they thought that nobody had enough of Mr. Guybrush, and we came out with The Tales of Monkey Island, which there are 5 installments to the series, and the first one came out July 7th of 2009, and the last one came out in December of 2009, and I just found out about these. So I'm very excited about uploading all 5, because I would have hated on waiting on them anyway. If I would have completed chapter 1, had to wait on chapter 2, I would have been a little upset. So now I'm kind of excited that I can get all 5 at once.
No, this is like downloadable content?
Yes, and you could also get them for the Wii. You could also get them for the Wii.
Wii!
Yay! but I have played them all on the PC mostly, and so I'd like to continue playing on the PC.
All right, and then there's a demo for this, right? Can you give us the URL or tell us where to go to get that?
Just go to Telltale Games. It's www.telltale games.com/monkeyisland, and there are a PC demo and an Apple demo, so you can get it for both.
And it looks like they've got some kind of movie, and of course the online shopping cart.
Of course.
Got to have the online shopping cart.
Got to get your money.
Okay, and then Monkey Island, of course, it's a big puzzle game. It's not. It has some action elements in it, right?
Oh yes, there's a lot of sword fighting.
But so there is a lot of sword fighting.
Yeah, there is a lot of sword fighting.
Okay, but there's a lot of puzzles too.
Very much puzzly.
Okay.
You've got to have a brain to do these, hopefully.
Okay. All right. Well, that's cool. And then that's out and available now?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's see. What was I looking forward to? Well, of course, there's this little – apparently this is a theme with me today. God of War 3 is coming out. It's coming out in mid-March, I believe.
Yay.
On the 16th. If you shop at that place that is a – resting point or stop for video games, you can go ahead and slap down some money on your pre-order, and I don't know.
Already done.
It gets you some kind of extra armor or something, although I don't think anything beats the COD of War in God of War 2, where you could just run around as a giant fish and kill things. So God of War 3 is coming out. I find it really funny that they released like Dante's Inferno and Darksiders, not necessarily in that order, but they released them just a few months before God of War 3.
Yeah.
Like, what were they thinking? Maybe they were trying to get people that wanted their Kratos fix. You know, because I got the demo. When you pre-order at certain places, you can get the E3 demo, and it's playable. It's very short, but it's Kratos, and he looks angrier than ever. If you've never seen Kratos making his angry face in high def, like, oh Lord,
pissed. The start, the press start screen for the demo has him just sitting there and growling at you. Seriously. Go load it up after this. This is to the viewers and to our my fellow podcasters, and just look at it. And it's him staring at the screen, growling.
Wow,
it's horrifying. It's horrifying.
Well, I'm actually looking at YouTube, and I'm sure there's going to come up with a Dante versus Kratos video.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there was a Freddy versus Jason, so why not Dante versus Kratos?
Maybe.
Yep, because it is very God of War-y, but of course nobody's gonna. Compared to Kratos.
I played Dante's Inferno, and I rented Darksiders just because I wanted to see it, and I'll talk more about that maybe next week or something. They're both just that mechanic, you know, of the huge weapon and the wide sweeping, you know, arcs and the, you know, able to hit 3 and 4 or 5 enemies. Maybe that comes off of Dynasty Warriors originally, I don't know, but all the buttons nearly the same. Darksiders is a little different. The control scheme is a little different. But all of these games, and it's kind of like everything's just building up, you know, like God of War 3 better be good. Like, oh my gosh, it better be good, because if it's not, it's definitely got some studios that are nipping at the heels and ready to jump in and take their place. I don't know if they've quite got the material or the skill to do it, but they've got the desire. So, God of War 3. Definitely looking forward to that. That's March 16th. What's today? Because we never tell.
We have
anybody.
9 days.
Today's Sunday, March 7th.
Yep.
So 9 days until it comes out. That's going to be some good stuff.
Funny. I got a funny God of War note.
What's that?
Well, we know that my 17-year-old daughter played God of War 1 and beat it the other day. And her comment was, why can't I play a girl? And I told her that Kratos was not a girl.
I don't know. Well, what about Mass Effect? Now, you can play a male shepherd or a female shepherd?
Correct.
So, because I heard that some people were very, very disappointed that they couldn't go, like, same-sex-oriented hootenanny on one of the other crew members.
Well, the first game actually had an option to do that for one of the characters. But the second one does not, as far as I know.
Oh, okay.
It's
always worth a shot.
Well, we know what Mike's going to be doing after this.
Well, I tried to do that in Dragon Age Origins. Oh, that's speaking of upcoming stuff. So, Darksiders is already out. I'm playing that. That's very cartoony. And it's kind of cartoony. It's very comic booky.
Yeah.
The whole game plays like a comic book. Which I like. I'm in the middle of playing that right now. I'm not going to make any judgments until I go through the game. But, I mean, still, it seems it's kind of fun. Again, not on the same level as God of War, but they're trying. Bless their hearts. Dragon Age Origins, who I did try to go all same-sex-oriented hootenanny on one of my party members because I played a female. What was my first tune? A female warrior. So, Layla, I think was her name. The rogue, the bard. So we tried to get them friendly. And I almost succeeded. Can you get them in the tent?
Cause you're asking the wrong guy.
I got them to kiss. I didn't get them in the tent though. And that was at the end of the game. And maybe I was just going a little too hard because I was going after Alistair and her at the same time. So, I don't know. But Dragon Age Origins actually has their expansion, Awakenings, coming out same day, the 16th. So that's coming out as well. So it looks like BioWare, who's got a huge just list of stuff that they are working on lately and have worked on and that are pushing out, they just keep adding to it because they hadn't done anything in quite a while. Then they did Dragon Age Origins. Then they did, then they released Mass Effect 2. Now they're releasing the expansion for Dragon Age Origins.
Yep, and they're working on Mass Effect 3 already.
And don't they have downloadable content for... I know they have downloadable content for Dragon Age Origins.
They have, yeah, they have. I mean, well, I guess there is a quest and a character for Mass Effect 2. But, you know, Dragon Age has upcoming DLC that will be quest-related, I believe. Mass Effect 2, I'm not sure.
Yeah, but so they've got teams working on that. Of course, they've got a huge segment of their company working on the Star Wars Old Republic MMO.
Yeah.
Which I am dying to play. And I've registered for the beta, and they never sent me an email back. So I'm going to write an angry letter. No, that like that would help. I'm angry, and I want to play your video game. So they've got a big bunch of stuff that they're working on that they're going to come out with very soon. And so far, everything that they've done has seemed, or everything, the two games that they have released have been wildly successful, have they not?
They have.
So I know it's a big upfront investment to develop these video games, but my gosh, it seems like they've got it. I mean, they've got the skill, they've got the talent, and they seem to be doing it. So yeah, looking forward to all of that. You want to know what Brandon is looking forward to? Because Brandon's, if you've been listening for the past 40 minutes and you haven't figured out that Brandon's not here, Brandon's not here, and he usually is. And you don't want to know what he's looking forward to? Anybody?
Sure, what the heck?
A giant elephant ear from the vendor at the fair, because that's where he's at.
See, I wasn't sure if we were going to bring that up, but okay.
But yeah. I told him on Friday that we were podcasting, and he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. I'm there. This is what I'm going to talk about. Yada, yada, yada. So we had the whole conversation, and he was super prepared, and then he ends up taking his wife and his kids to the fair. Like,
for those that don't know, our famous strawberry festival is in town for 10 days.
Wife and children. Oh, speaking of which, yeah, I think everybody's kind of figured out that we're in the Tampa Bay area of Florida. So if you're going to stalk us,
yay, you strawberries.
Might want to start there instead of Nebraska, because we're not really in Nebraska.
ladies, I live in St. Pete, just saying. You know, I joke, but one of these days I'm gonna actually find somebody on my doorstep.
Yeah, I listen to your podcast. You're so awesome. Hi.
Will you sign my cartoon booby?
I even Beatrice. Put the blue veins in, like Mike hates. And then what else do we have? We recently had the fair. And then now we've got the Strawberry Festival.
We have Ren Fair as well. That's going on.
The Renaissance Fair is going on.
Yes, it is.
And then we've got that Cavalia thing from Canada.
What the crap is that?
Have you seen that? I know this is not
obviously
a video game.
I've never even heard of it. What?
Huge horse show.
It's a huge horse. Yeah, and it's got the largest tent in North America. This thing is as big as a building. Hmm. It's as big as a small hotel. And it's got these four giant poles or whatever, a vertical whatever. And then the tent has the tent has four spires, and it's just huge. And it's this big, expensive Cirque du Soleil thing with horses. So anyway, so that's what Brandon's doing. He's out like living life instead of playing video games, and I'm gonna have to have a word with him about that, because that's not cool.
And users, if Brandon's not on our next podcast, it's because Mike murdered him.
Don't say that.
Huh? What?
I would never.
I was
do,
just.
I, you know.
I was providing I was providing necessary information. I was.
No, if I'm going to do anything to him, it's only probably going to be from the knees down, because we still need him to podcast.
Okay.
So, MMO news. Since this is the H2 MMO podcast, your place for video game reviews, MMO news, and more, and we've talked about the video game reviews and the more, let's talk about some MMO news. What's going on in the world of MMOs?
Well,
Brett?
I have actually been, for quite a while now, been playing a private server for Phantasy Star Online. That's an old game back in the Dreamcast days.
I've actually played that on Xbox, I want to say.
Yes. That's what I was going to go for, is it's had, you know, iterations on the GameCube, on the Xbox, on the PC, more than one version on the PC. It's had sequels. It's had, you know, all sorts of things. But, you know, I've been playing on a private server. It's SCHT hack server. It's not really a hacker server because I don't like that kind of thing, but they're actually pretty stringent on not letting hackers in. But it's, if anyone's interested, it's www.schtserve.com. And they're, you know, they're, I'm not much of the, of an MMOer. You guys know that.
Mm-hmm.
People are, I detected some anger there.
I have 380s in the World of Warcraft. And how far did your tune get? Like level 26,
25, 26, something like that. I'm not much for interacting with strangers online because, well, you know, especially if you play games on like Xbox Arcade Live, you know, you get whiners and, you know,
12-year-olds that cuss like sailors.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I cuss like a sailor too, but, you know, at least I'm of age and I can, you know, vote or.
I know, but when you're playing a shooter and some guy just shotguns you down and then stands over your body and teabags you, and he screams in this really high, prepubescent, like, "I totally pwned you, man!" Like, what the hell? Who lets these point. Children online, and who gives them a microphone?
That's my point, is, you know, I have a lot of experiences like that, so I'm not much for, you know, thousands of people at the same time being like that. I know they're not like that, but, you know. But PSO has always been a game. It was the first game I ever played online. And, you know, it's nice to find a community that actually is a bunch of douchebags. You know, they're pretty friendly. And the thing is, the mods and the creators of the server, they're more hardworking than the people that, well, I shouldn't say anything, but certain MMOs out there who are, you know, lazy and don't really do much. They update all the time. They put their own custom items and characters and quests in. And
what do you need What do you need to play this? Is this a browser based thing, or do you download the client?
Yeah, you can download the client. There, you know, they have instructions on how to install it, patch it, and everything.
Does it cost anything?
No, it's free. The private servers are free for these games. You know, they can't legally charge, although these people wouldn't anyways. But you know, you can't charge for a game that already exists that people have previously paid for.
Right.
So
this is just, it's because they haven't, Phantasy Star, have they done anything lately? Do they have an online, like an MMO? As if they do, I'm not familiar with it.
They came out with, the most recent thing they did was, they came out with Phantasy Star Zero for the Nintendo DS, and that was, it was in the same vein as Phantasy Star Online, except that it had more of a story. It still had a great multiplayer part, because PSO was really just one straight multiplayer game with a bit of a story in it. You know, like the multiplayer and the single player were the exact same game, except, you know, you could have three friends at the same time in your multiplayer game.
And what was what was the one on the Xbox?
It was also Phantasy Star Online. They re-released it for the Xbox and the GameCube. Don't ask me why the PS2 got left out, but, yeah. Sonic Team wasn't a fan of who made PSO. They weren't a fan of the PS2, I guess. They love the GameCube, though. But yeah.
And we all know that the GameCube.
Love the GameCube.
That was too kiddie for me.
Like, really. Well, that's what people say about the Wii, and look how that's sold. I mean.
Well, that's true. Well, the Wii's not kiddie, though. The Wii is.
No, it's kiddie. It's kiddie. It's very wicked.
Well, yeah, the interface and the Miis and everything else. Yeah, yeah, they are.
Don't get me wrong. I love the Wii. It's a great system, but I've had a lot of fun with it. They certainly have their share of adult games.
Will we get a mature rating if I say I love my Wii too?
No, I think we can stretch a T rating.
All right. Well, that's cool. So you've been playing here on this server. It's free.
Yeah, my friends and I play on there.
Do you have to apply for membership, or you just have to know about it?
You have to log in. I mean, you have to sign up for an account, but it's that simple. The account actually transfers over to the game. So if you sign up on the site, your character, your account will already be active in the game when you download it and patch it.
And there's not, you don't have to go through an application process or anything. And
no, they're mindful of you know who joins and stuff. I don't know of any cases of anyone being kicked out, but the thing is, there's never been anyone who's just been a jerk. You know, when you're running around the lobbies and stuff, which most games you find something like that.
Yes, but, trade chat and WoW.
Yeah.
Hi everybody, I'm new. Yeah. Screw you, move servers. Like, wow. That's what you say. No wonder why they don't start people off in the major cities.
Yep. World of Warcraft is like the post office of the MMO world. All the people there are disgruntled.
Yeah, some of the people are just absolutely horrible. All right, well that's cool. So, all right, so if people want to give that a try, they should go to www.schtserve.com. schtserve.com.
Yes. Okay. SERV.com.
Okay, so I'll try to remember to put a link to that in the show notes so we can get people there, no problem. All right. And what do I have for MMO news? WoW. Of course, we got to talk about WoW. We can't go a podcast without talking about WoW. And the big thing that I'm seeing lately is just expansion fatigue. The Wrath of the Lich King has been out for over a year now. People are getting tired. People are getting, the same content over and over again. And what we're getting is we're getting a lot of people that are going after the more, the wackier achievements or the more difficult achievements. They're going after heirloom items for their alts and then, you know, mailing those items over to their alts and then just playing a totally different character, but with, you know, a 10% or a 20% XP bonus and running through there. I'm guilty of that. They're all the little things that they never had time for before because they were busy playing the content. I think a lot of people are going back and doing now, especially if it's old world stuff because they're getting ready for Cataclysm, and Cataclysm is, of course, supposed to tear the old world, classic WoW, vanilla WoW, tear the world asunder and completely remake it. So the famous barons, I think it's getting cut in half by a volcano. Mm-hmm.
That's why I've been trying to run around and get my lore master.
So you work. See, well, here we go. It's a perfect example of this. You're working on your lore master right now. What do you need for lore master? What do you have to do to?
You have to get your lore master of the Eastern Kingdoms, of Kalimdor, of Northrend, and Outlands. And
in order to do that, you have to do what?
You have to complete a certain amount of quests in each of those areas. Like in the Eastern Kingdoms, I think you have to complete 700, Kalimdor 700, Northrend. Oh, they just have a list of achievements. I'm actually, like, I just started working, in the last 3 days, I think, trying to get my Eastern Kingdoms.
But we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of quests.
Yes.
And you're doing it all, you're capped, you're at level 80, right?
Yes. So, of course, when you whip through these little cities of level 20 to 30, you're going to wipe them out and get these quests done quick, as if when you were that level.
It takes a lot longer.
Yes.
So you're working on that. I just finished my World Explorer, I think late last night, about 1 o'clock last night. Mm-hmm. I finished my World Explorer, which means that I have, visited, flown over every patch of land in the game. And this is the second tomb that I've done that on. This isn't just the first one. So we've got people that are playing alts. We've got people that are level capping alts. We've got people that are going after crazy achievements. We've got people that are doing anything and everything, but dedicating huge amounts of time to killing Arthas and playing the last dungeons or the last raids. And I know Blizzard has talked about adding some more content at Wormrest Temple. They're going to add more dragons. There's four doors down there, and only one of them works. Or three doors, and only one of them has a dragon in it. And that's the Obsidian Sanctum, of course. So they're planning on adding the Ruby Sanctum. with another big dragon, to give people something to do, to keep people going. But they've, you know, Blizzard, they're the best at this. You know, at the whole MMO thing, they have outsold and outperformed and outlasted everybody else that's come along. The only ones that can even claim to be hanging in there with them at this point is, I think, EVE Online.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, they're going to have to release their next one pretty soon or release some expansion. I think we're getting ready for that dip in membership that you get at the end of every expansion. You get this little dip in membership where people just quit playing and they quit paying. And
yeah.
Then when the expansion comes out, they all re-up their accounts and everybody jumps back in, and all of a sudden you've got, you know, 1.5 times the people playing that you're used to. So, but that's what's going on there. They're announcing some major changes to the battlegrounds. They're going to give you more honor for actually bashing someone's head in with a mace or a sword, as opposed to doing any kind of quests or things that are associated with those battlegrounds. So they're trying to get people fighting, as opposed to going in and doing your quests like in Wintergrasp and then leaving for a week and not ever coming back. So they're trying to get people into the battlegrounds. Maybe they're trying to widen that gap a little bit more between the player versus player and the player versus environment. So that's what's going on in WoW right now. So, I mean, I know on my server, Arthas is dead. You know, somebody's killed him. They've got a little statue up in the middle of Dalaran. So, I mean, it's, man, if we're not at the end of the Wrath of the Lich King expansion, then, like, please don't show me the end. If there's some more to come, like, please, just come out with the new stuff. But so that's where that is. Do we have anything else, Trish?
Not at this moment.
You know, got no MMO news for us?
I will let everybody know when I get started on Monkey Island.
Monkey Island.
And
it's all fun and games until somebody starts flinging poo.
And of course, I didn't mention earlier, but The Sims 3 did come out with another expansion called High-End Loft Stuff, but that's not like gameplay. It's just a bunch more stuff for your
just house. Like end tables and stuff, right?
Yeah, and lamps and all that.
Gotta good, have end stuff. Tables.
Yes, you do.
You would be amazed at how difficult that game is to play without end tables. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that out there. All right. Well, good. Then that's it. That's the wrap, I guess. Again, we want to thank Blind Monkeys for lending their wonderful music to our podcast. They did our intro and our outro. Actually, they didn't do them for us. They wrote that stuff. That's their original material, and they were kind enough to let us use it. You can find more out about them at www.blindmonkeys.com. The monkeys is spelled M-O-N-K-E-E-Z, and they are always playing out and about in St. Petersburg, Florida. So if you get a chance, visit their website, visit them. They are always happy to hear from new listeners. That's it for me. Trish, you got anything else?
That's it.
Brett, you got anything else?
That is it for me.
All right, man. Well, then that's it. We're done. Thanks, everybody, for coming and listening to us prattle on about video games for another hour. And we will see you in a couple of weeks. Bye.
Bye.
Adios.
All the ladies look so bright. Me and the boys look for fine. Till Sandra's woman caught my side. It's hot late, not feeling weak. I need one with an extreme. We're out and I'm feeling strong. But this journey of mine, it won't take long. We're talking dirty, all whispering on the air. We're talking dirty, the words she likes to hear. Just hit the full sale. Play my card, taste is high. She likes game, give it a try. It's hot late, not feeling weak. And I got that one with me extreme.